Hello and welcome to the Thursday, March 20th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Baltimore, Maryland. The full disclosure list ceased to exist as of today. It was started originally in July of 2002 and essentially was a very little, if at all, moderated list where people posted exploits and posted details about vulnerabilities. The list itself always was somewhat controversial because, for example, it did not require responsible disclosure. Also, the fact that it wasn't really moderated led to extensive flame wars and trolling, but in general, the non-moderated nature of the list made it possible for it to be very current and cover a lot of different vulnerabilities that may or may not have made the moderation on other lists. So overall, it's a controversial list. I think it had a very important purpose. It's not really clear if there's anything going to replace it. But of course, running a list like this is not an easy undertaking, as was pointed out in the notice that announced the closure of the list, among all of the legal threats and other hassles that were involved in running it, which in the end then led to the closure of the list. And Java 8 has been released. Now, Java 8 is a feature release. It's not a bug fix. If you're using Java 7, you're still fine. You're still supported. But of course, sometime in the future, Java 8 will be the new mainstream version of Java. This being a feature release, it's not necessarily backward compatible to Java 7. And as we have seen in the past, you typically will end up having to support a couple of different Java versions simultaneously. If you are a Java developer, take a look at Java 8 and try to develop your code so it will support Java 8 to allow people who want to upgrade to use Java 8 instead of having to keep two Java versions around. And while we're talking about updates, Firefox 20 out is out. It does fix a number of security vulnerabilities, but also adds new features, in particular a new video codec, the Google WebM codec, so it may have a little bit of better compatibility with various HTML5 videos. And antivirus company Avast enabled a somewhat controversial feature by default in its browser toolbar. Now, we have seen these browser toolbars for a long time now in antivirus products. They're supposed to tell you if you're visiting a malicious site. And of course, as part of that, they typically report back what sites you visit in order to check if they're listed as malicious. Nothing really wrong with that, but Avast now goes a step further by implementing a feature they call Smart Price. If you are browsing a shopping website and are looking at a particular product, the browser toolbar will report the product that you're looking at back to the Avast servers. I think it's actually using the Kyovo engine in order to do that. And then it will display alternative offers from other vendors. Some people may appreciate this kind of service as part of comparison shopping, but the problem here is it's enabled by default and you first have to disable it if you're not comfortable with that kind of loss of privacy. And then we got an interesting little blog post from HP about bypassing web application firewalls. In this case, the author just uses various proxy headers indicating that the request already was inspected by the web application firewall, for example, by inserting X forwarded 4 and then a local IP or X originating IP and then 127.0.0.1 to fool the web application firewall, and apparently that actually worked. This is a very common problem, trying to identify the actual origin of a particular HTTP request. Now, typically, you can just look at the IP address of the TCP connection, usually referred to as the remote address. But if that remote address is already a proxy, then it may be more appropriate to look at the X-forwarded 4 header that will show the original IP address. The problem is that this header is trivial to fake, so you can't really trust it, and you're sort of caught up here between trusting that header or just using the remote IP that may actually be meaningless in this case. No good solution for that, but at the very least, if you do use the X-forwarded 4 header, make sure you do check that it's not an 127.0.0.1 or another invalid unroutable IP address. And well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.